It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Andrew Pichet is with me again. We are talking recruiting some more. So we looked at where Penn State was and what we felt like needs were in the 19 recruiting class and beyond. We're going to do a little bit more past, present, future. This is our series on recruiting trends, looking at storylines at these positions, because each of these positions on Penn State's roster has different things that have shaped where they are now and where they're going with it. Perhaps none more so than the offensive line. And you look back to when James Franklin got here in 2014, there just was not much there. And I think what we've learned over the years, Andy, with this position is if you've got a hole or two, you don't have much on the offensive line. You know, if you have three out of five guys, you could have three guys who are going to be first-round picks in the NFL. If the other two guys aren't holding their weight, then I think you're only as good as your weakest links are. And Penn State has really trudged slowly along from 14, where they're just cobbling something together, even until last year when they just didn't have all the right pieces lined up in all the right places at the right time.
Yeah, this is – the offensive line was – the barren wasteland when James Franklin arrived in State College. Let's just call it
I think it's a fact.
It was an empty cupboard that you can't impact an offensive line right away. When he got here, he also identified the secondary as a weakness and a huge area of need. But he knew he could recruit to fix that quickly, right? He knew he could grab here and there and fix it. Offensive line is a long, long, slow grind in terms of recruiting and building. And they were starting at not only ground zero, I would argue less than zero, with two to three guys that were flips from the other side of the ball just out of necessity. The bottom line was the sanctions that were levied on Penn State by the NCAA, the bullseye impact zone, on how that impacted those that had nothing to do with it, by the way, how it impacted the football team on the field. The bullseye landed at the offensive line. That's where it shook out at the end of that. It was, there's not much left there at the offensive line when he started. So he started at not only zero, but I would argue less than zero. And he just started cobbling and building slowly. He went through a transition with the position coach there. So you're looking at a transition in different philosophy, transition the offensive coordinator to a whole new offense. So you're looking at how do we help the offensive line. To a degree, and in some respects, to me, this is year two of James Franklin and the offensive line. Under his watch as a program, what he is able to impact – clearly, based on his results only, this is only year two for him, and he's just getting started.
And you can see, you know, any little disruption in the talent acquisition and talent development will put you behind the eight ball in this position. And I think really 2018 is the year where Penn State is in position to get out from behind the eight ball. And just to recap, the 2012 team, the offensive line, it was a lot of senior starters. Yep. The recipe was there for the 2012 team to do what it did with Matt McGloin.
Yep.
Then it all gets kind of torn apart in 13, 14. And yep. At the same time, Bill O'Brien didn't get good offensive linemen in numbers, mainly because he couldn't.
You couldn't
do it under sanctions when you're limited to 15 scholarships, and there's some disruption there. When James Franklin gets here in 2014, you mentioned the two flips from the defensive line, Brian Gaia, Derek Dowry. You had two redshirt freshmen who they're not often going to be ready. Brendan Mann and Andrew Nelson
did
the job, but they were not going to be anything more than okay as they're trying to figure out what college football is.
They are foot soldiers for this program. I swear to gosh, they are guys that you didn't want to play, aren't ready to play, but by God, we don't have any other options. They have to play. And that in a run-centric physical conference, throwing cubs to the wolves.
Yeah.
But they survived, and I think they were two of the more yeomans. I think when you're looking at offensive line moving forward, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
You're good.
I think the two most important players that James Franklin has recruited, two of the top five in my book since he's been at Penn State, are Ryan Bates and Connor McGovern. Two cubs that you had to throw to the wolves who are actually having more of an impact than the two that had to do it before them. I mean, they both, redshirt freshmen and true freshmen, playing, functioning, you know, and now they're starting to become weapons. But the importance and the value that they had to, that they brought to the table as taking two of those five positions off the table, wherever they were at, whether it was guard, center, left tackle, right tackle, or left guard, because that's where the two of them have played. They've showed versatility, diversity, and the ability to be able to function at an acceptable level. Vastly undervalued. You can't underestimate the impact those two have had.
And it's ongoing for them. Going back to the early days, so Angelo Mangiero was fine. Donovan Smith moves on. With eligibility left on the table.
Yeah, I didn't want to be here his last year.
He did, right. I wasn't sure how committed he NFL was his last year. Yeah. Miles Diefenbach is injured, misses pretty much an entire season. So all the things that you were hoping were to come together never really came together, and that goes all the way up through last year.
Yes. Oh, 100% agree.
The issue I felt like last year was not having true offensive tackles, not having a strong enough pipeline with true offensive tackles. They've had some success moving guys. Brendan Mann, Ryan Bates had success, but I think in a perfect world they're both guards.
Correct.
So moving forward,
ooh,
I think
Brendan Mann's a left tackle.
At the college level.
Well, he was a much better left tackle than he was a guard, even though he was an okay guard this year. He was a standout left tackle, but I'm not beating you
I'm
up.
I'm thinking more body types. But
body type, you're correct.
Body type. So here we are. I think the most exciting thing, if you're a fan in 2018, is that you're starting to get some true offensive tackles in there. Will Fries is really the name. I think he's the most important guy on the line, because if he is your franchise left tackle, I think everything else falls into place.
Is he a franchise left tackle? Is he an NFL caliber left tackle? I think he's the best left tackle we've seen at Penn State in
a
while.
I think NFL and franchise left tackle are two different things.
Right.
But I think lengthwise and all that stuff, athletically,
I agree,
he could be the best left tackle they've had of the James Franklin era, and everything else can fall into place, especially when you look at what I would call a huge success in the offensive line in the 2018 recruiting class.
Oh,
huge success.
Killed it.
Nana Asidu, who I think is maybe the highest upside offensive lineman of the Franklin era. You can look at Michael Bennett. You can look at right next to him, Rasheed Walker in the 18 class. To get those two tackles with Juice Scruggs, with a swing guard tackle and Bryce Effner, all the different ingredients they wanted were there, and they got two tremendous long athletes at the tackle spots. You can see that. You're not going to see that in 18, certainly.
Right.
Asidu's going to need 2 years, maybe 3 years, to turn all that athleticism into real life production. But Rasheed Walker could be a guy in the mix in 2019.
Here's the interesting thing, and it's in the early years of James Franklin in this position, right? He's building from less than zero, and he's got a swing. And when you swing and miss once, you can swing and miss as when you get this developed. Like in 2 years, he'll be able to swing and miss once or twice at this position, and it won't necessarily hurt him. But in those early stages to swing and miss, the trickle-down effect and the impact of that is huge. Sterling Jenkins, swing and a miss, right? As we see it right now.
We think, yeah.
As you see it right now, as we're sitting here talking about it, that's a swing and a miss. At the linebacker position, Jake Cooper, swing and a miss. When you're starting from that kind of a barren wasteland and building, when you're trying to build this up, you swing and a miss. The trickle down impact is big, and the trickle down impact from Sterling Jenkins is it's thrown Ryan Bates into a position chaos, and it's it's grasping onto the Will Fry straw of, I hope he's there. I hope he's there. I hope he's there. Now we think we can put him in. Ideally, they didn't want to play him last year, but James had to build him up because he was as close as they had.
Yeah.
And he was fine, but when you swing and miss like that early, when you're stuck like that, it's just those little things have a huge impact across the offensive line. And they might need a pure center going forward, I would argue. A pure brawler, nasty, smart center.
Could be Mike Miranda.
Could be
Juice Scruggs. Both of those guys fit the bill. Let me read you the names in the 2014 recruiting class, which is that's the one that Franklin had to cobble together. And I think he took it to the finish line as well as you possibly could.
Did a great job.
But the offensive line in that class, Noah Bay, not here anymore.
Not here.
Chance Sorrell, Brendan Brosnan. What have you gotten there? And then Chaz Wright, who I think Chaz Wright in a perfect world is your number two something.
Yep.
He's filled in a pinch, and I think he's done a great job for, especially since, you know, in a lot of ways it's probably written off.
Yep.
But that continued the chain of disruption in the in the development of a cohesive offensive line.
Year two, James Franklin's offensive line. I say it again. This is year two. Last year was his rookie year.
I don't think it's excuse making. No. I think it's just, I think it's facts are facts. I thought in 2017 it was a little disappointing because I think pound for pound, body for body, talent for talent, they were there.
Yeah.
But I just think that it just didn't all come together for a variety of reasons. That right tackle spot was an issue.
As you
think Brendan Mann was probably better off at left tackle as opposed to right guard. Connor McGovern was his first year
another
starting
position
at center.
Move. Yep.
It was a position move. Steven Gonzalez at left guard. So I think in 2018 they have more potential to get not just all the talent to come together, but in the right places.
They have the first time under James Franklin and probably since 12, and that might be up for debate. They have a pure two deep. 10,
yeah.
11, pure, recognizable, position identifiable, you know, developmentally, visibly, functionally, you know, available too deep. They don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul if something happens to somebody. And every single time before this, it's been in the rob Peter to pay Paul scenario, including moving Bates around, including Connor McGovern going from right guard to center out of necessity.
I just want to get this out of the way. We have a few seconds left.
Yes, sir.
I love me some CJ Thorpe. I don't know if 2018 is the year or not. We'll start to learn some more this spring. Long term, I love CJ Thorpe.
Go long on him. I love him too.
So we'll see. We're gonna flip to the other side. We're gonna look at the depth chart, talk about defensive line. Take a quick break. We'll get into that. We're staying in the trenches though.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.